morning. Thank you, guys. It's good to see you this morning. I'm so glad to be with you. We started this series called Light last week, and this series is really, it's very personal for me right now. And I don't know that I'm going to get into a whole lot of how personal it is today, but God is just really kind of doing a thing in my life, and there's some stuff going on, and it's just, I don't know, it's wild stuff. But last week, we specifically talked about what it means to live in the light and what that looks like. And it basically, that if we are following after God with all of our heart, then we are living in the light. We are living in His truth. And when we live in God's truth, we can't help but have a heart just like God's. We can't help but have the same ambitions and goals and to want to see kingdom things happen. We can't help but do that. We just can't help it. And so just kind of building off of last week and just kind of throwing that out there and saying, you know, last week was really about us living in the light, and we kind of got that. And if you weren't here last week, I highly recommend that you go online and listen to it. By the way, we talk about the podcast quite a bit, you know, here and there. And if you miss a message, you know, or whatever, you can go back and hear it on the website, on the podcast. You do, just kind of a blanket statement, let me just kind of throw this out there for those that maybe are not so technically savvy. You do not have to own an iPod to listen to a podcast. Just so that's out there. I saw a couple people right then go, oh, wow, that's great. But seriously, you don't have to own an iPod to listen to podcasts. You can go online and you can do that. Listen to it there. I think you can stream it. I think you can download it on your computer or whatever. You may need iTunes to do that, but again, that's a free program and you can get that. So just wanting to preface that because I've had a lot of people this past week talk to me about the message from last weekend and even sending people to that message saying, hey, you got to go listen to this message kind of thing. And so I just want to just kind of cover that because I know that's been something that's come up. This week, we're talking about something a little bit different with the light. But it requires living in the light as we talked about last week. So that's why that's important. And you may want to, after you hear this message today, you may want to go check out last week's message if you didn't get to hear it. But it is so important for us to live in the light because without doing that, we're not growing in Christ. And furthermore, we're not going to be able to do things like what we're talking about this morning. So I want to just pray for us this morning before we get into this. And let's just hit this together, okay? Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for who you are. And God, for your faithfulness, for everything that you've done for us. Lord, we are so undeserving. God, I just pray that this morning, God, that we would just be about understanding who you are and what it means to live in the light and what it means to take the light that you have called us to take. God, it is a huge call in our lives to do what you are calling us to do. And so, God, I just pray, Lord, that it would come down in a way, God, that wouldn't just scare us off, but God, that we would want to draw closer to you and draw closer to the mission at hand that you've called us to. Lord, I pray that your word would speak to our hearts, God, and just get past the fact that I'm here and, Lord, just use us. Be with us during this time. In your name I pray. Amen. I don't know if you realize it, but light is one of those things that it is very cool. It does a lot of things that I don't think a lot of us really think a lot about. I want you just to think for just a minute, what would the world be like without light? What would the world be like without light? Anybody got any ideas? It would be dark, yes, thank you. It would be dark. And yeah, it would be cold. There'd be a lot of things going on without light. I mean, you just think about this for just a minute. And this is something that we just kind of take for granted. You know, we're used to having light. We're used to turning on lights. We're used to light coming up every day. You know, it's just one of those things that's part of our life, light. But without light, there would be just a slew of things that wouldn't happen. You know, for starters, you know, if we didn't have light, you would not have color. There would be no color because there's no color in the dark. Doesn't matter how bright it is. Loved this thing. I had a 73 Bronco for a long time. Many of you could care less about that, but it was a really cool little truck. And you had liftoff hardtop and stuff. And Greg Keller can be with me on this one at least. And this thing was painted Viper yellow. We stripped it and had it painted and all that stuff, and it was just so, so cool and so bright. You know, and it was one of those things, like, I mean, we rode around and everybody knew that truck. In fact, several years of student ministry, I you know, and there's people here that can attest to this one. I was purposely, like, just, we were doing everything in yellow. Pamphlets were in yellow. Flyers were in yellow. Pins that we gave out about the student ministry were in yellow. And we would do tailgate parties at home football games. And what would be there at every tailgate so that people knew where to find us and make sure that they're not going to miss us. The big yellow Bronco, just right there, boom, there it is. And it was always just parked right there, partly because I just thought it was cool, probably parked there, but the other part was just, it was so bright you couldn't miss it. And as bright as the brightest colors that we have on the face of this planet, as bright as the bright of colors that God has ever made, without light we would have none of them. Light brings a lot of things to the table. Light is really a matter. It's composed of photons, and I'm not going to get much deeper into that part of that, but it's, you know, in of itself, yeah, you don't want me to go there because I don't know what I'm talking about. And even further than that, just even thinking about things like the speed of light. You know, you got like Star Wars, you got light speed, you know what I'm talking about? It's like, you know, they're all through the galaxies, right? Well, the speed of light, again, another little statistic for you here that I really don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm just regurgitating something I've learned, is that light in a vacuum, now this is just in a vacuum, if you could pull this off and how they figured this out, is beyond my imagination, but light in a vacuum travels at 299 million miles per second. Now, that's pretty fast. I don't know if you get that. No, I'm sorry. It travels 299 million meters a second. I'm sorry. And it travels 186,000 miles a second. 186,000 miles a second. Now, that's fast. I mean, that's like beyond drag racing fast. So I've got to appreciate this. Okay? Light is like mega, mega incredible and like what it can do. And again, to think that this is something that God created and that He is Lord over this is a huge thing in of itself. So we know that we're supposed to be in the light. We know that light does some incredible stuff. But some things that I think are just kind of basic for us, you know, that I think is important to us is that we understand that the light that we see as light, as in lights, and as in the sun, and as in light as we know it physically, and in the light that God provides for us and who He is, that both lights do certain things that are the same thing. They both give direction. They both bring direction to our life. You may be at a point today, or maybe you've been in point in the past where you're just kind of like, man, I have absolutely no idea what to do from here. I'm so lost with what God wants me to do with my life. I'm here to tell you today that God does provide direction. Just like a flashlight can provide direction in the dark, or a candle, God provides direction. Furthermore, light pierces darkness. I'm not going to get way into that today. But on top of that, it brings growth. It brings life. Do you realize without light, there would not be life? It's hard for us to fathom because we're just so used to this light. But for a lot of us, what we struggle with is not walking in a physical light that we see all the time. It's walking in a light that God has called us to, which is His truth. And when we walk in that light, we find out that there is something more to do with it once we're in it. And this morning, that's what we're talking about. This morning, we're talking about taking or bringing the light of Jesus Christ to other people. Man, I gotta tell you, I know of course, if I got to come to your home team all the time, I guess I would talk about them too. But I got to be with our home team, not the one we lead, but another one, and this week. And we went and we were buying Christmas for a family. And man, it was just so awesome to do. It was just so great that we were able just to go and just hang out together. And I gotta tell you, we got a little carried away. Me and some of the guys, we were buying for some kids and a family and the whole thing. And one of the kids was you know, into Hot Wheels. Well, I mean, guess what happened right there? You know, like I took like some of the guys and we immediately bolted for the Hot Wheels section. And so like we're going through the Hot Wheels and we were just like, man, there's some cool Hot Wheels here, isn't there? They were all so cool that we were just like, let's just buy them all. And so we did. We just bought all the Hot Wheels that they had. You know, we tried to make sure we didn't get duplicates or anything of anything. We bought the big carrying case, and then like we take it back and we like show it to the girls, and they're like, well, what about the girls? You know, they're not gonna get any, they're gonna have all this stuff and they're not gonna have as much. And I was like, we were like, you know, quick save was, you know, well, we bought this carrying case, we're gonna open them all and put them in the case. And we did. And so, you know, but it was just, it was, you know, and not trying to take credit here. This was a group thing. This was a bunch of people together just kind of letting their hearts just run wild with something that God had provided them to do in just a small way. And that God could provide light through Hot Wheels is a blessed thing in of itself. It is. And you know, I think we miss this, and partly we miss this because we're not walking in the light. We're not walking in God's truth. We've let sin take a hold of our life or whatever's going on, and so that's kind of keeping us from this. But when we get to the point where we're walking in the light, we desire to minister to people. We desire to do things for people. And people, I know, see, I do, and others of you do too, where you see Christians and you go, you know what, they're not even offering to help. Those people at church are not even offering to help. They're not offering to help me do this. They're not offering to help me take care of my family. What is wrong with them? And I'm just here to tell you that they're not all walking in the light and they just don't know. They're just not there yet. Or maybe they've been there and they've kind of fallen off the light wagon, for lack of better terms, and they're just kind of bouncing around right now going, you know, life's about me and, you know, whatever. Man, when we're living in the light, we become about taking the light. This church was founded on that one principle. We did not need more churches in a community just to be another church. We needed another church in the community to take the light to people that maybe other churches might not. And that's not a knock on the other churches. We are strong believers that God uses different types of churches to reach different types of people. We don't have this figured out. We're not perfect. In fact, we're idiots, if you don't know that by now. And we need help most of the time. I'm not talking about just physical help of like unloading stuff. I mean, we need like mental help a lot of times. Just putting it out there. But when we live in the light, we want to take the light. And when we get to a point that our heart just burns with a hole in it to take that light, things like starting churches and buying all the Hot Wheels begins to happen. And it's so awesome to be a part of those things. There's a passage of Scripture where we see, and it's the book of John, and in this passage of Scripture, we see this guy by the name of John the Baptist. Many of you have heard about John the Baptist, and many of you have heard of, you know, baptism, and that's where all that comes from. And we're just going to kind of, you know, because I'm going to talk about John the Baptist a little bit, let's just call him JB for short. JB is, you know, here, and he's on the scene, and he's kind of coming before Christ has come. And he's telling everybody about what's going on and who's coming. He's talking about the coming Messiah. And all these people are starting to get a little antsy, because what happens is JB is wandering around and he's really kind of hanging in one place a lot. And he's teaching about the Messiah, about Jesus Christ coming. And large crowds are starting to gather. And people are starting to wonder what is going on, especially like religious leaders in the community. They're starting to go, oh, I don't know about that. I don't know about that church over there that meets in the school. Maybe they're really just a cult. But JB is teaching the Word of God. And as he's doing so, people are coming to Christ. People are coming to an understanding of what it means to live in the light. And he is taking the light. I want us just to read this in John chapter 1 and verse 6. It says this. It says, there came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. This is JB. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. So right there, we've kind of set the stage. JB is here. He's on the scene. And he is basically teaching people about the coming of Jesus Christ. People are a little unsure of this. But he keeps on keeping on. And you go down even further in verse 19. And it says this, and this is where JB has a bunch of like religious leaders kind of come to him, and they're going to give him the 20 questions right here, and this is where it goes. In verse 19, it says this, now this was John's testimony. When the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was, he did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. Because, you know, there's a little confusion going on. Some people are starting to believe because large crowds are following him around and stuff that, you know, maybe this guy is really the Messiah. And he's real quick to go, you know what, that's not me. I'm an idiot. I'm just a guy. I'm just doing what I'm called to do here. And he goes on and they asked him in verse 21, they asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? Now, just to kind of back this up for just a second, these guys were pretty well understood in the scriptures that they had at this time and place. Talking about Old Testament scriptures here, there were a lot of talkings of people that would be coming. People that would be coming in the days to come. In fact, JB himself gets talked about in the Old Testament. Like way before he's ever alive, it's saying he's coming. Here's the thing, we're going to get to that here in just a second. But one of the people that is talked about that's going to come before the Lord comes back is Elijah. And so right here, the guys are like, are you Elijah? And he says, I am not. Are you the prophet? Another person that is talked about, he answered, no. No, I'm not. Verse 22, finally they ask, who are you then? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? And this is verse 23, and this is John the Baptist right here, and this is what he says. He says, John replied in the words of Isaiah. This is Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3. If you want to jot that down and just check this out and look at it later. Isaiah 43. It says, John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert. Make straight the way for the Lord. It was prophesied long before John the Baptist was ever around that he was going to come. And his purpose was known even back then that this person, John the Baptist, JB, that he would come to make a way for the Lord. He was preparing a way for when Jesus Christ came. It was of no surprise. Like, oh yeah, that other guy had been through here, and he's been telling us all about Jesus, been telling us about the Messiah, that he was coming, and we're kind of ready for that. In fact, you know, I've already given my heart to him, and that's going on. And this morning, I want you just to kind of see something that happens with John the Baptist. Number one is that he's just like standing strong. And he's catching a lot of flack. In fact, I'm just going to kind of go ahead and give away the ending on John the Baptist right here. John the Baptist is killed for sharing the gospel. He is killed for sharing the gospel. He basically gives his life for doing what God had called him to do. That's the second thing. Not only was he strong in what he was called to do, but he knew his purpose. Let me ask you a question. What's your purpose? I'm not trying to get all Rick Warren here on you or anything, but just what's your purpose? What has God called you to do as an individual? Do you know that there's some things that God has called you to do? There's some things that is pre-written before you ever existed that he ordained you to do. And it's an amazing thing when we begin to find those things. And John the Baptist was in the middle of that. John the Baptist was right there. He understood that right in the middle of doing what God had created him to do. You know, he wasn't whining. You know, we don't see any scripture about him going, yeah, I'm just some guy. I'm supposed to be getting ready, you know, everybody for Jesus to come. You know, I can be excited about Jesus, but, you know, there's really no reason to be excited about me. We don't see any of that. We see John the Baptist just doing what he was called to do, which was making a way for Jesus Christ to come to earth. Jesus Christ was already on earth. And so as Jesus Christ's ministry began to start, John had been working the crowd, so to speak, getting them ready for when Jesus was going to show up. I want to go back to something for just a second. And it's just this simple statement, and it's this. It's that without light, there is death. Without light, nothing lives. And we know that applies to the physical realm of this world that we live in. We understand, you know, plant doesn't get light, it's going to die, you know, and so on. And, you know, everything. No light, nothing lives. But I want you to fathom this for a second. I want you just to understand something that's basic cornerstone to our faith, and that's that through Jesus Christ, that is life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And without him, there is eternal death. And I know we know this, but we just don't act like it a whole lot. I'm throwing me in there too. Because we wander through life and we've got people around us all the time that God has just given us chances, you know, to just love on those people, to serve those people. And again, if you're not walking in the light, you're not going to desire to do this. But if you're walking in the truth of God's word, then your desire is going to want to be to see these people saved, to see Jesus Christ come into their life and change them. Without light, nothing lives. Without the light of Christ, no one lives. And yeah, we know it, but what about all those folks that God has placed into our lives? Do you think it's on accident? There's no accidents. My prayer for us as a church is that we would be a church that our heart is so bent on reaching people that don't know Jesus Christ that we don't know which way's up. Because I'll just tell you, it'll be real easy for us just to, especially with the building coming and everything, it'd be real easy for us just to kind of sit back and go, oh, you know what, everything's just great, man. We got the cool church and the cool junk and we got the stuff and the deal and, man, you ought to see our kids' junk, you know, and all, you know. It's all worthless if we're not about bringing the light to other people. You see, John the Baptist got it. He understood, and he had a very specific purpose of preparing the way for Jesus Christ to come. But even with that, even in his very specific purpose, we can see the call on our own lives that is the call of evangelism. It is the call of the Great Commission. It is what Jesus, when he was leaving town, said on his way out, make sure that you go and tell all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's us. We've been called to do that. And we can't lose sight of that. You say, Chris, I understood that this series was about bringing hope. And it is. And I'll just tell you, the biggest hope that I have to live for every day is the hope that Jesus Christ wants to use me to do something else in someone else's life. And I'm just praying that we could all have that hope together, that we could together change a community, that together we could change our world. And those are big statements, and a lot of things, you know, people say, oh, you're dreaming big again, Chris. There you go, you know, watch out now, you know. But when we're helping an entire community build a well, or we're doing like these home teams are doing here, this past week and this week, and we're buying Christmas for families. And we're doing what so many of you did this past weekend when we helped a family just by dropping a few bucks as you're walking out the door. Or when we provided food for a family this past week. Or, you know, whatever it's been. I've seen so many situations just within the last week that I've got to tell you, it has absolutely thrilled my heart to get to be the pastor of 24 Church. And I have to fight back pride on this deal, because my heart is so that I just want to just help people and minister to people. And sometimes it's so easy to get caught up, because this is hard work. Doing a mobile church is hard work, especially when you're low on volunteers and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's tough. It's very, very hard. And there are days that some of us look at each other and we go, what are we doing? But when we get to do that, when we get to bring the light to people, that's being the church. It's not going to church. It's being the church. It's living out what Jesus Christ has asked us to do. Rob Bell says this statement right here. He's a pastor. He says, why blame the dark for being dark? It's far more helpful to ask why the light isn't as bright as it should be. And he's right. We can be brighter. And in the midst of this, let me just kind of bring this to a head right here for just one second. There's this passage of scripture that's Colossians 1:24, and I just want to read this and we're going to close this out. It says, now I rejoice, this is Paul talking, now I rejoice in what was suffered for you, and I fill up in my flesh what is still lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions for the sake of this body, which is the church. John Piper, another pastor, says this about that passage of scripture. Jesus does not walk the earth suffering. He didn't, and he doesn't now. He did suffer for our sins. But his call was not to be here on earth right now suffering. According to that passage of scripture that we just read, that's our call. And you may be here this morning, and you may just be able to say, Chris, I am suffering. And I'm here to tell you that I am too. This week has been one of the hardest weeks of my life for a lot of different reasons. But I'm here to tell you that we have not been called to this, to be mediocre. It being about God's work. God has called us to do this, to give all of our heart. And I just want to encourage you this morning that there is hope in salvation. And you may say, Chris, I already know Jesus Christ. And I'm going, yes, awesome, that's great. But are you walking in the light right now? Because the hope that's in salvation that I'm talking about is just even the hope that I have in knowing that God wants us to be part of reaching other people that do not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. God wants to use us. He wants to use us as a church, and He wants to use us as individuals. I encourage you, at whatever point in your life you are at, I don't care how dark the darkness is right now, if you are in the longest tunnel of your life, I want you to know something. I want you to know that Jesus saves. And He doesn't just save us, but he saves others. And being a part of that and building the body of Christ, being a part of the bride of Christ, the church, is the best opportunity that you've got of getting on board and doing and being a part of that. And where you're at in your life, where God has placed you, with the people that are around you in your life, the people that you work with, the people that you live next door to, the people that you go to basketball games with, those are the people that God has placed into your circle for you to bring the light. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you so much for all that you have done. God, our suffering is absolutely nothing compared to yours. But God, some of us, we are just being open and honest and saying, God, it hurts. God, it hurts us. But God, we're willing to take it, and we're willing to take it for you on your behalf. And God, that you would have glory because of it. God, may you be made more famous for our willingness to just accept what you've given us for this moment in time, and for us to take it and make lemonade. God, may we make lemonade for your kingdom. God, may we be a people that our hearts burn so hard for you that we would be about starting churches, that we would be about buying Hot Wheels. God, you are our God. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And God, we understand that without you, there is no life. God, may we bring the light. God, we love you. In your name I pray.